This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
You know, some cases you never get over. And that's how I feel about a little girl who went missing in the last days.
We have recovered Lori's remains, and we have arrested the person responsible.
Little Lori Page has been found dead. Her father charged in her murder. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us.
June 3rd, 2023. Lori Page is reporting missing by her father, Andrew Wiley. And at that time, he claimed she left home with her backpack sometime in the night while he was at work.
We worked so hard to find answers in the Lori Page disappearance. This sweet, sweet little girl goes missing out of the Tallahassee area. No one was covering the case. We contacted Tallahassee PD over and over and over again. We got no help. We couldn't find witnesses. No one seemed willing or interested in covering her disappearance, but we tried anyway. We covered the disappearance of Lori Page and tried desperately to get answers, hoping that somehow we would find her, many of us holding out hope that she had run away and was in another state. And now we have the answer, not the answer we wanted, but an answer. Lori Page's body has been found. How did it all start?
This little girl goes missing June 3. Let's see, June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January, February. Where is this beautiful 12-year-old girl, Lori Page, out of Tallahassee, Florida? Got a lot of questions about this investigation. But most important, where is she? This is how the whole thing starts. Take a listen to Lieutenant Laura Varble.
She was reported missing to us on June 3rd by her father with very limited information. So Dad works overnight. He is a, he works in our correctional facilities. So he left the night before, returned the next day after his shift, and she was gone. And this was not abnormal. Like that was their regular pattern.
Okay, let me clarify what Lieutenant Varble is saying. After I started investigating this case, I learned when she says that's not abnormal, she doesn't mean that the girl is gone is not abnormal. What was not abnormal is the dad works a night shift. Mom's out of the picture. Dad has the 12-year-old girl. He works a night shift. And then he comes home and she's there with me, an all-star panel. But first, I want to go to a special guest who has emerged as an unlikely hero in this scenario. Margie Summers, paraprofessional at Griffin Middle School, very close with the little girl, Lori Page, who was missing, just 12 years old. Margie Summers knows Lori very well, and she is the one who actually went out and organized a search for Lori on Facebook, Margaret Adams Summers. Ms. Summers, thank you for being with us. First of all, I want to address the home situation because, you know, like we all know, that when a child goes missing or a child is killed, it's very likely someone in the family. And the first place you look are the male family members. You look at the dad, the stepdad, the boyfriend, the live-in, the older brother, the ex-boyfriend, anyone connected to that family. What can you tell us about their living situation?
I know that about a year prior to her disappearance, that her mother brought her to the father and basically left her with her father. At that point, her father was somewhat new to parenting, but the two of them were making a go of it.
It's my understanding that she was doing really well with her father, never missing school, upbeat, Is that true?
That is very accurate. And when I later learned that there were issues, I was actually surprised. She was so put together at school. I just want to guess that she was struggling with issues at home.
Let me go straight out. Speaking of irreparable harm caused by moms and dads in your youth, Dr. Bethany Marshall is joining us, renowned psychoanalyst joining us out of LA at drbethanymarshall.com. Dr. Bethany, we need some help.
When the one person who is entrusted with taking care of you, making sure you're safe in this world, making sure your hair is combed, there's breakfast on the table, the person who's supposed to have a secure attachment with the father, when that person cannot hold on to their relationship with the child, she's perhaps antagonistic with the father, that really destroys a child's world. And I'm going to tell you something about this little girl. Her primary attachments were with her father and with her schoolmates. I just now, the little bit I've heard on this show tells me that this is not a runaway. This is somebody who had attachments in their immediate circle. Runaways are children who have such a huge amount of trouble in their home that their primary attachments are with strangers. And that's not the case here.
That's exactly where I was headed, Dr. Bethany. Once again, you've read my mind. Margie Summers is with us, who again has turned into a very unlikely hero. She is the one that has organized the search for little Lori Page. She is the one being heard on media speaking out about a girl gone, a little girl gone. Now, you know, Margie, I called hunting for information about this girl. And no matter how many times I called, it seems as if police didn't want to speak publicly. Isn't that unusual? But I did notice after I started investigating the case myself, suddenly things started changing and moving. What happened, Margie?
I think your phone calls may have made a difference, and they may have realized that, hey, this is a big deal. 8 months is too long.
Yeah.
And I think somebody just needed to draw some attention to that so that the startling fact that she'd been gone 8 months would shine through again.
Well, what have they done since I started poking around?
From what I understand, they've added a whole lot of resources to the case, additional detectives. They're doing a lot more legwork. They're starting over from the beginning. So it's almost like the whole investigation has kicked off in high gear.
Well, I wish this had happened 8 months ago, but to the Tallahassee PD, we would love for you to join us and help us find Lori Page. The whole reason I was working up to the fact that she had stability with her father is to dispel the idea that she has gone runaway and is voluntarily staying away from home and school. Isn't it true, Margie Summers, that she was doing well at school and seemingly happy with friends?
I would say she was doing well at school. I never saw her with any particular friends, but she was so driven and so focused on school. It was almost like she didn't see school as a social environment. She saw it as a very serious learning endeavor. She would literally run from one class to the next, even though it was across the hallway, just to make sure she wasn't tardy.
Summer of 2023 to early 2024, detectives pursued hundreds of leads across state lines. Lori is never located, and the story provided by Wiley begins to show inconsistencies.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
In the last days, heartbreak. The search for Lori Page is over. The Tallahassee Police Chief, Lawrence Revelle, announced that the PD has recovered the remains of Lori Page. After a prescribed burn revealed her remains in a remote, brush-covered area of Thomas County, Georgia. Quote, I told you 2 years ago we would find Lori and we would bring her home. Yes, It was about 2 years ago that we begged the police department to help us find Lori. And I believe she was found by a prescribed burn of overbrush, found basically accidentally. Arrested, Lori's father, 36-year-old Andrew Wiley, who originally reported her missing after investigators pursued hundreds of leads in multiple states, they say in an exhaustive investigation. He has been charged with second-degree murder. What happened when Lori disappeared?
Listen to Lieutenant Laura Varbel.
She was home by herself. He had worked nights since she had come to live with him, and she would always be home while he worked his overnight shift. It was a quadruplex, so it's like there's a lot of little places. And there was a neighbor reference, obviously, for her, an adult person that if she needed something, she had somebody to reach out to.
Okay, to Chris McDonough joining us, director of the Cold Case Foundation, former homicide detective. I found him on his YouTube channel, The Interview Room. Chris McDonough, thank you so much for being with us. Does it irritate you as much as it irritates me that this child had been labeled a runaway? You know how many cases I've covered where the child was first designated a runaway and they end up dead?
100%, Nancy. I mean, in this situation, obviously, you know, 12-year-olds, they just don't disappear. They can, you know, sometimes circumstances, they do run away. However, in this particular case, if we look at it, you know, from a 30,000-foot view, you've got to take into consideration, and we've talked many times on your show about this, the victim risk continuum. And when you look at that, this child falls within a medium risk in relationship to the totality of her life circumstances. With that in play,
I don't even know what you're saying. She's a medium risk in totality with her life circumstances. What in the hey are you saying? Can you listen? I feel like I'm hearing someone read a police report. Please dummy down for me. What are you saying?
So what you do is you have like an L, like an L-shaped risk continuum. And on one side, you write environment, situation, circumstance. On the bottom, you put low, medium, and high risk. The lower to the left, the child's daily activities, the higher the opportunity is for a suspect and or somebody in her environment.
Okay, I do still. Do you know what he's saying?
Sort of.
Okay, again, we don't know what you're saying. Let me try to interpret in regular people talk.
Okay.
Chris McDonough, are you saying that she was at a low risk for being a runaway?
No.
Okay. See, I did not have any idea what you're saying. Medium category for what?
For potentially somebody luring her out of the home through an internet situation, through, you know, anything.
So at medium risk for kidnap or luring, is that what you're saying?
Luring.
Okay. Medium risk because of what? Because just so you know, we have learned that she did not have a social media profile. She was not online.
Well, that's not uncommon for, you know, somebody to within the family to say, well, wait a minute, you know, she could have had a phone. She could have had access to her friends. There could have been a variety of circumstances. And that's why I'm saying you take a look at her environment, the totality of her environment. Who are her friends? What access points to the internet does her father or friends have? And those are kind of things that kids, you know more than anybody. I mean, I've raised four of them. They sometimes use their friend's stuff.
Well, the only thing that raises a risk in my mind is the fact that her dad had to work overnight and mom's not in the picture. She had recently moved to the area. I guess, Margie Summers, it was over a year ago?
Yes, it was approximately a year earlier. I think it may even have been August, so the beginning of sixth grade.
Gotcha. Listen to this, guys.
She was recently moved to the area to live with dad. She had been with dad for about a year. She has had a lot of things happen in the course of her life, so there could be several reasons with regards to her background. We just really can't speculate as to which that could be.
To Dr. Bethany Marshall, I want to follow up on what we're hearing the lieutenant say about having had a tough time of it. Starting a new school is hard enough on its own. Then your dad is gone. You get home in the afternoon and your dad leaves to go to work. So she's there by herself, probably musing about whatever happened during the day, maybe being homesick. So that's difficult.
Nancy, that's profoundly difficult. You know how much time you spend with your kids processing the events of the day? And imagine there's no one there to process the events of the day with her. So if she is falling prey to some other person outside the house, there's no one for her to attach to in the house to steady her, to help make sense of her experiences. And just to boil this down even further, this is a little girl who ran from class to class, even if the other class was across the hallway. This tells me she was a good little girl. Good girls are victims, right? Little girls who can't say no. So she's going to be hungry for attachments. Anybody who gives her love, anybody who says they can fulfill her needs, anybody who says, I'll keep you safe, I know you better than your own parents, she's going to gravitate to those people because she is like a thirsty little plant. Every little drop of water is going to make her spring to life, even if it's from a predator.
Joining me now is high-profile family lawyer joining us out of North Carolina, now at TriangleDivorceLawyers.com. Kathleen Murphy, before you tell me what you think, I want you to hear this. Take a listen to Sydney Sumner, CrimeOnline.com.
When police began looking into the disappearance of 12-year-old Lori Page, detectives started by looking for her digital footprint. But Lori Page has no digital footprint. She's not on social media. Old school methods are being used to find the middle schooler, knocking on doors and talking to neighbors, putting up flyers with her name and personal details, sharing information with neighboring police agencies, and asking the public for help.
Knowing that, according to police, there was no digital footprint. She's not on Snapchat. She's not on Insta. They can't find her anywhere. But we do know there was a computer in the home. We know that because cops said that, but yet no digital footprint. What does this mean to you, Kathleen?
It means to me that the police have not gotten that computer and looked at it carefully. It also means to me that the police have not fully investigated this case. 12-year-olds are going to find a way to connect with somebody that makes them feel good. They're going to have that reach out. And if she's alone for a significant amount of the evening and nighttime, and she has a computer, and she has access to the computer, I wonder if the police have reviewed that computer.
Good question. Margie Summers, did the school have computers? Could she access a computer at school?
Matter of fact, Nancy, all of the kids at our school are issued computers, and they maintain those computers with them and take them home at night, charge them, and bring them back to school each and every day. Every student at Griffin Middle School has a Chromebook.
So she did have a computer. Has that computer been found, Margie?
I do not know the answer to that.
Well, wouldn't they have returned it to the school?
Yes, she would have checked it in at the end of the year, and I'm quite certain that she did, because Jess, just the kind of student she was. I also wanted to mention, based on what your other guest said regarding her self-esteem, I know that Lori received results of a negative test score. She was absolutely distraught and feeling terrible about her test score. She is the only student that I've ever had to say, Lori, it's not that serious. It just means we're going to have to help you in this one area. Other students, to get them even interested in their test scores is a bit of a chore, but not Lori. She took that low score very much to heart, and I was actually concerned about how sad she was regarding that test.
That just breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. With me right now, Megan Krein, Director of Communications at Child Help. And if you've never heard of Child Help, please go online to childhelp.org. It's amazing. They care about one thing, helping children. Megan, thank you for being with us. When I think of this little girl, 12, so upset about a bad grade, and now she's missing, and she was immediately described as a runaway. A child that's that upset about one bad test grade, I just don't see her running away.
I don't see it either, Nancy, and thank you for having me. When I hear, we see children like this a lot, and that tells me that she's so upset about a grade. It's a perfectionist. It's one way to get her mother's approval, keep peace in the family. There's been a lot of discord. And like you said, she's a baby. She's 12. She cannot sustain 8 months by herself.
In the last days, a heartbreaking end to a search, to an investigation that we launched into the disappearance of a beautiful young girl, Lori Page, out of the Tallahassee area.
February 2nd, 2024, a phone is seized from Wiley's residence. A forensic analysis uncovers questionable internet searches, including queries about remote areas with bodies of water in Alabama and Georgia.
What happened when Lori went missing?
Dr. Bethany Marshall, when the mom tells us that, how scared the child is, she's afraid of the dark, she doesn't like the outside, she loves to eat, she loves the meals. What? None of this makes sense with the phrase that this little girl just took off. I'm just not buying it.
No, none of it makes sense.
And remember, Dr. Bethany, when she disappeared, it was nighttime. What do you think? This little 12-year-old girl's going to go out and take an Uber? That did not happen.
No, and her mother knows her daughter, right? I mean, who best would know her than her own parents? However, one thing concerns me, and that is that the mother is talking like a police detective, not like somebody who's concerned about her daughter. Now, I'm not saying she's not concerned, because she might be shocked, dissociated, unable to express her love. On the other hand, a mother who's this methodical and detached.
Wait a minute. I'm going to defend the mother. Really, all I care about is finding the girl. I don't care who did what when. I want to find Lori. In defense of what the mother is saying, she's extremely defensive and angry that the police and others have just written Lori off as a runaway. Take a listen to what Mrs. Brazzi, the mom, has to say about her daughter being labeled a runaway.
The police report said that she ran away, and there's no reason why they believe that she was taken. And that is the dumbest thing I've ever heard, because you can voluntarily leave under manipulative circumstances. So, and then whether she voluntarily left or not, she's a child. What rights do children have to move around as they please? Can she get in the car and voluntarily drive down your block? Because just as sure as she gets in a car and starts to drive it, that's going to be a problem. But when she voluntarily leaves and is missing, like, this doesn't make sense. Things that don't make me sense make me upset. I get irritated. Where is Lori Page?
See what I mean, Dr. Bethany? She's responding to her daughter being called a runaway, and it doesn't make any sense.
You know, Nancy, I completely retract my comments from before. She's sounding like a police detective because there are no detectives helping her. She's having to think this entire thing through herself. And she makes the most excellent point. Even if a child walks out of a house to a stranger, that's not voluntary. It's never voluntary when a minor leaves the house and never returns. So this poor mother is falling back on her own psychological and mental resources to find her own child. Can you imagine if John David or Lucy went missing and you had to be the detective?
You know, another thing, Dr. Bethany, I think that she's doing, and I'm certainly no shrink, I want everybody else on the panel to jump in on this, she's methodically, as best she can, going through what she left. A 12-year-old? Well, who's going to feed her? What is she going to eat? She's afraid of the dark. She wouldn't have done that. What, does she get in a car? She's not going to drive. I mean, she's going through all these permutations and possibilities and ruling them out. And I have found, Dr. Bethany, that when you're faced with this horrible happening, you try to make sense. You try to apply logic to an illogical situation, and it doesn't work. And it gets harder and harder and more difficult. And that's what I hear the mom doing.
You know, I agree with you. And, you know, part of being a mother is something called maternal preoccupation. And what that means is no matter where your child is, no matter who's taking care of your baby, you're thinking about them all the time. Now, imagine your child is missing. That's going to be thinking about your child in a desperate kind of way. I liked your use of the word permutations. She's trying to think of every single possibility, but not only that, these are rebuttals.
Yes, you're right. What about it, Megan Crine? You're hearing Dr. Bethany Marshall. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, yes, yeah, the mom's out of control. She has no control, right? Can you imagine? I have two children not knowing where they are, and for 8 months, I mean, we're coming up on a year.
What the mom is saying right now makes a lot of sense to me. Guys, also, the specter of a mother's and father's worst nightmare. Take a listen to what the mom, Ms. Brazzi, says.
Tallahassee has some of the worst sex trafficking in the state. And it's 20 minutes to Georgia. So yes, I'm concerned. I'm very concerned.
Joining me, Nicole Parton, CrimeOnline.com investigative reporter. Isn't it true that we have learned the night before she goes missing, she and her dad were at home as normal, watching TV, no problem, correct?
That is correct, yes, ma'am.
Now, he then goes to work, and there are witnesses that saw them there together, chilling and watching TV. Everything was fine. Yes, no?
Yes, correct.
Then he goes to work as usual at a nearby prison facility. He works at a CI, Correctional Institute. He goes to work. Everything's fine. Locks the door. She's there. He comes home the next morning, and she's gone.
March 2024, as more consistencies in Wiley's statements are identified and new information about his relationship with Lori emerges, detectives shift their focus more heavily towards Wiley.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
The remains of a beautiful little girl, Lori Page, have been found. What led up to her disappearance?
Nicole Parton, there was one unusual circumstance that happened the night before, early in the evening. Didn't the mom show up at the house, and that upset Lori?
She did. The mom showed up at the home, and there was an altercation to the point that her father, being protective, called the police and said, can you please come out and remove the mother from the home? The police were not at their home all of the time. This was one incident where the mom showed up. The father did the right thing, called authorities and said, there's an altercation. My daughter is upset. And the police came out and asked the mother to remove herself from the home.
Kathleen Murphy joining me, high profile family lawyer. I'm sure this is not the first time you've seen trouble against warring exes. And the child is the casualty.
And these children at age 12 start to find their voice. They haven't quite found their voice, but they don't like that. They're going to want to speak to a judge, speak to their teachers, and speak out about what they should not be subjected to. And this little girl probably saw something that traumatized her.
Margie Summers with us, paraprofessional Griffin Middle School, who knows Lori very well. What do you make of it?
I believe that it was an upsetting incident because the cops never showed up at their house. For the cops to even have to be called would have been traumatic in and of itself. And I'm sure after that happened, I'm sure her mind was whirling and she was trying to figure out what to do and how to take.
You know, maybe she turned to a stranger. Maybe she turned to a stranger to process the experience, or somebody was already predating on her. And at this point, she had nobody to process it with, which made her incredibly vulnerable to anybody who showed love and wanted to talk to her.
I feel like Lori may have been overwhelmed. Even the bad grade she got on the standardized test overwhelmed her, and the burden of it was far too great
for what's normal. And I'm sure the burden of what she just saw and maybe even felt responsible for would have weighed heavily on her. And I know sometimes when kids are overwhelmed, they flee that feeling of being overwhelmed.
Dr. Bethany, what do you make of that?
Well, I think what's happening with 12-year-olds is that they're slowly reassigning their attachments outside of the home. And this serves a biological function of preparing them to leave home when they're 17, 18, or 19. So already they're looking outside the house. But this little girl, her primary interest was with her parents. You can imagine your parents fighting. And the idea, kids blame themselves. Whenever the parents fight, whenever a parent's neglectful or abusive, I'm not saying these parents were.
I hear you, and I would love the opportunity to psychoanalyze Lori Page, the 12-year-old missing girl, but we have to find her first.
Yes.
And right now, she's labeled as a runaway. She may have been upset that her mom and dad were having this war, and there was a verbal confrontation, and the cops came over, and blah, blah, blah. Okay, but where is she? I mean, is it just me? Jackie, help me. Mm-mm. We have to find the girl. I don't need to figure out what she's thinking right now. I need to find her and get her to safety.
Yes.
If she was upset that night and went out and sat on her front porch, if she went outside in the front yard, where the hey is she now? Now, you heard Margie Summers state that the computer was handed in. So whatever computer she had was not the school computer. But witnesses saw her on a computer watching TV with her dad before she disappeared, before the mom came and raised a ruckus. So where is she now? I think I hear Chris McDonough. Can we psychoanalyze this child later after she's safe?
But you're right, Nancy, and this is why the 14 detectives right now are realizing, holy cow.
Not one of 14 detectives would come on and make a plea for her.
You're right. It's all wrong.
It's been
so the critical turning point.
Months since this child disappeared.
Right. The critical turning point.
Why did you, Margie Summers, have to form the search committee? Why did you have to go out looking for her? Tell me about that.
Because other little girls, there's press conferences, there's rallies, there's news cameras, there's all kinds of attention. And my student, someone I cared about, was getting none. That's not fair. It's not right.
A D-A-M-N thing. No pressers, no big searches, no guys and women on horseback, no canines, nothing.
Nothing. And luckily, the media in my area did take interest in the story. And shortly after we asked them to help us, two news channels and the local newspaper all ran stories.
When?
14 days after she went missing.
Okay, that was 8 months ago.
Yes, it was 8 months ago, and nothing's happened since until the last week or so, and it's picked up steam again.
Gee, I wonder why. Okay, so were there any sightings of her that night?
I do not know.
Where was she last seen?
Last seen at her home.
In the home?
Yes, correct.
No neighbors saw her come outside?
That's correct.
This was in June. June 3. School had just ended. No neighbors saw her outside, right?
Right.
Do we have any idea, Nicole Parton, Megan Crine, Chris McDonough, Dr. Bethany, Kathleen Murphy, Margie Summers, was a search done of the home to see if any altercation had occurred? Were any windows broken? Was the lock jimmied? Do we know anything? Was the home even processed?
To my knowledge, the home was not processed.
That's
but I can tell you what they were thinking, Nancy.
What?
Okay, when they got there, and this is where I was going, the critical turning point here is when they look at the father and they say, tell me about your daughter. And he tells them, the critical turning point here is, okay, 12-year-olds don't vanish. At that moment, 8 months ago, they should have immediately turned on all of the resources. Because at that point, everybody knows you have a 12-year-old who has vanished. Now, they could have been thinking, well, maybe she ran away. It doesn't matter.
But why do we keep saying maybe she ran away? I don't give a flying fig how this whole thing started. Okay, go ahead.
But it's critical now when we look 8 months later back and we now see resources that should have been put on within 3 hours of this child's disappearance. It should have all been in motion back then, and it wasn't. And that's a huge problem. That is a huge problem.
Well, not only that, think about this, Chris. Let me throw this wrench into the works. If she's home alone, no one is there to see what she's doing on the internet. Margie Summers, what do you think about the claim she had no social media presence? She didn't text. She didn't email. Nothing?
I never saw her personally involved with social media, but I will say she was smart. And all of the kids at our middle school are tech savvy. They're issued a computer for the duration of the year. So to think that she wouldn't know how to use a computer or how to get on the internet would be categorically false. All the children do use the internet every day.
And we at Child Help, we're seeing an uptick in human trafficking. It's rampant. And that's where my head went first as well.
Is this Megan crying?
Yes, it's Megan.
Okay, tell me about that. And why was it stated by the mother that Tallahassee is notorious for sex trafficking? It is close to the Georgia-Florida line, very close, and close to I-75, which takes you all the way from Florida to New York City and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just thinking,
we're on I-10. We are exactly dead center. It runs through the middle of our town. I-10 runs all the way from Jacksonville to California.
And she sounds like, Lori sounds... I'm sorry, Nancy.
No, go ahead, please. What I was going to say is, I'm wondering, I had a girl disappear from a stadium, arena, a football game. And you know how they found her? Her face popped up on an internet, I want to say dating website, but it was an escort site.
Mm-hmm.
This child had been taken and was being pimped out of a hotel. Yeah.
That's so sad. And that's why I think education is so important. And we have the Child Help Speak Up, Be Safe curriculum, which schools across the nation can implement. And it teaches kids, I'm old enough to remember the good touch, bad touch. And this is an offshoot of that. And we just implemented a human trafficking prevention curriculum. So kids like Lori, if this did happen.
Based on what Megan Krein from childhelp.org is saying, Chris McDonough, we have no indication the child is dead yet. The police still think she didn't have a social media presence. I don't know if she had a phone or not. I don't think she did. So what in the hay do we do now? I mean, if it hadn't been for Margie Summers, there would not have even been a search. Oh, by the way, Margie, where did you search? What did you do during your search?
Me and some of the other teachers and staff members from the school got together and we handed out flyers in the immediate area. And then also on other days, I just went to some of the local convenience stores, taped them up there in case she popped in and out for a drink or a snack. Somebody would see her. I also asked the police, is there a place that we can look? Is there anywhere that we need to focus to put flyers? And they just had no search parameters at all. So I hit a couple apartment complexes, spoke to the managers, gave them flyers in case they saw her in their pool area. On one of the chairs, something like that. But it was really, really hard to know where to look because there's just not any clues in any particular direction.
I'm just thinking, you know, about what Margie Summers said, Chris McDonough, this little girl. The teachers got together and did a search for her. It wasn't the police, as I said. It wasn't ATVs and helicopters and heat-seeking sonar. The teachers got together. Why is this happening to this little girl? Why hasn't anybody championed her? Is it because she's black? Is that it? That nobody cares about a 12-year-old little girl? I mean, look at her, Chris.
Nancy, nobody ever, ever wants to see a child injured, hurt, harmed, etc. And in this particular case, what you're doing is the tip of the spear, raising public awareness, continuing is what is necessary. And, you know, what the cops need to do, and they're long overdue, It's a shame that we're even having this conversation today.
Early 2024, based on digital evidence, detectives begin searching a remote, brush-covered area of Thomas County, Georgia, known locally as a plantation. Multiple searches are conducted, but yield no results. April 5th, 2025, following a prescribed burn that cleared heavy brush in the area, detectives returned to the plantation for another search. This time, they located human remains.
Now we wait for justice to unfold. Goodbye, friend.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.